Hello and welcome.
I'm so glad you've pressed play on this one because today we're diving into one of the most relevant and real-world topics in your entire GCSE chemistry course, using resources. This is topic 4.10, and it covers everything from how we get clean drinking water, to how we extract metals using plants and bacteria, to how we assess the environmental impact of the products we use every single day. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. This sounds like geography. But trust me, the chemistry here is fascinating, and examiners absolutely love this topic because it lets them test whether you can apply your knowledge to unfamiliar contexts. So let's get stuck in. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain the stages of potable water production, describe phytomining and bioleaching, evaluate life cycle assessments, recall the Haber process conditions, and explain the compromise temperature, and avoid the most common mistakes that cost students marks every single year. Let's start with resources themselves. Chemists divide Earth's resources into two categories, finite resources and renewable resources. Finite resources, sometimes called non-renewable, are things like fossil fuels, metal ores, and crude oil. They took millions of years to form, and once we use them, they're gone. Renewable resources, on the other hand, can be replenished naturally, like timber, water, and crops. This distinction is fundamental. If an exam question asks you to distinguish between these two types, you need to give a clear contrast. Don't just define one, define both and use comparative language. Now let's talk about water. And here's the very first mark-winning distinction I want you to burn into your memory. Potable water is not the same as pure water. Pure water contains only H2O molecules, nothing else. Potable water is water that is safe to drink. It may contain dissolved minerals and salts, but at levels low enough to be safe for human consumption. Every year, candidates lose marks by writing, "Potable water is pure water." It is not. Say it with me. Potable means safe to drink, not chemically pure. So how do we make water potable? There are three key stages, and I want you to remember them in order using the mnemonic SFS, sedimentation, filtration, sterilization. First, sedimentation. Raw water from a river or reservoir is collected and allowed to sit in large tanks. Gravity does the work here. Heavier particles like sand, silt, and grit settle to the bottom. This removes the large, visible solids. Second, filtration. The water passes through layers of gravel and sand. This removes finer particles and some microorganisms that didn't settle out. Think of it like a very large, very slow coffee filter. Third, sterilization. This is where we kill the harmful microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, parasites. The most common method is adding chlorine gas, but UV light and ozone can also be used. The key point for examiners is that sterilization kills microorganisms. It does not remove dissolved salts or make the water chemically pure. In areas where fresh water is scarce, we can also use desalination, removing salt from seawater. This can be done by distillation or by reverse osmosis. However, both methods require significant energy input, which is a disadvantage. Right, let's move on to metals. Traditional metal extraction uses smelting, heating ores, and a furnace, but this requires high-grade ores, which are running out. Enter two brilliant biological alternatives. Phytomining and bioleaching. Phytomining uses hyperaccumulator plants, special plants that absorb metal ions through their roots from low-grade ores in the soil. The plants are then harvested and burned. The ash contains a high concentration of the metal compound, which can then be processed, typically dissolved in sulfuric acid, to form a metal salt solution, and then electrolysis or displacement is used to extract the pure metal. The beauty of phytomining is that it works on ores too low-grade for traditional smelting, and it has a lower environmental impact. Bioleaching uses bacteria. The bacteria are introduced to heaps of low-grade ore. They oxidize the sulfide minerals in the ore, producing a leachate solution, a liquid containing dissolved metal ions. This leachate is then processed to extract the metal, again often using electrolysis or displacement, with a more reactive metal. For example, scrap iron can be added to a copper sulfate leachate solution, and because iron is more reactive than copper, it displaces the copper. Iron plus copper sulfate gives iron sulfate plus copper. Both methods are slow, that's their main disadvantage, but they're brilliant for low-grade ores and have a much lower carbon footprint than traditional smelting. Now, life cycle assessments, or LCAs. An LCA is a way of evaluating the total environmental impact of a product across its entire life. There are four stages: raw material extraction, manufacturing and processing, use of the product, and disposal or recycling at end of life. Examiners love LCAs because they can ask you to compare two products and evaluate which is more sustainable. Here's a critical point that many candidates miss. LCAs are not fully objective. Assigning numerical values to environmental impacts, like how much damage carbon dioxide emissions cause versus water pollution, involves value judgments. Different organizations may weight these factors differently, leading to different conclusions from the same data. If a question asks you to evaluate an LCA, you must acknowledge the subjectivity. Corrosion, specifically rusting, is another key area. Iron rusts when both oxygen and water are present. You need both. Not just water, not just air, both. This is tested constantly. Rust is hydrated, iron oxide. The equation you need to know is iron plus oxygen plus water gives hydrated iron oxide. We can prevent rusting by coating the iron with paint, oil, or plastic, which acts as a physical barrier. Or we can use sacrificial protection, where a more reactive metal like zinc or magnesium is attached to the iron. The more reactive metal oxidizes preferentially, protecting the iron. Galvanizing is coating iron with zinc for exactly this purpose. Polymers, thermosoftening versus thermosetting. Thermosoftening polymers have weak intermolecular forces between their polymer chains. When heated, these forces are overcome and the polymer softens and can be remolded. When cooled, it hardens again. This process is reversible and makes thermosoftening polymers recyclable. Thermosetting polymers have crosslinks between their polymer chains, strong covalent bonds that form a rigid three-dimensional network. When heated, these crosslinks do not break, so the polymer does not soften. It will char or decompose instead. Thermosetting polymers are not recyclable. Finally, the Haber process. This is the industrial synthesis of ammonia, and it's one of the most important chemical processes in the world. Ammonia is the basis of nitrogen fertilizers that feed billions of people. The equation is nitrogen plus 3, hydrogen gives 2 ammonia. It's a reversible reaction. The conditions are an iron catalyst, a temperature of 450 degrees Celsius, and a pressure of 150 to 200 atmospheres. The nitrogen comes from fractional distillation of liquid air. The hydrogen comes from natural gas, methane, by a process called steam reforming. Why 450 degrees Celsius? This is the classic exam question. The reaction is exothermic in the forward direction, meaning it releases heat. By Le Chatelier's principle, increasing temperature shifts the equilibrium to the left, reducing the yield of ammonia. So a lower temperature gives a higher yield. But a lower temperature also means a slower rate of reaction. 450 degrees Celsius is the compromise. It gives an acceptable yield at an acceptable rate. The iron catalyst also helps increase the rate without affecting the equilibrium position. Why 150 to 200 atmospheres? The forward reaction produces fewer moles of gas. 4 moles of reactants give 2 moles of products. High pressure favors the side with fewer moles of gas, so high pressure increases yield. However, very high pressures are expensive and dangerous to maintain. 150 to 200 atmospheres is the economic compromise. Right, exam tips, time. Let me give you the 6 most important things to remember. Number 1, never say potable water is pure water. It is safe to drink. That's it. Examiners will not award marks for potable means pure. Number 2, rusting requires both air and water. If a question asks you to explain why iron rusts, you must mention both oxygen and water. Mentioning only one will cost you a mark. Number 3. When evaluating phytomining or bioleaking, always give a specific advantage and a specific disadvantage. It is better for the environment is too vague. Say, it can extract copper from low-grade ores that would be uneconomical to smelt, reducing the need to mine high-grade ore deposits. Number 4. LCAs involve value judgments. If a question asks you to evaluate or assess an LCA, you must state that the numerical values assigned to environmental impacts are subjective and can vary depending on who conducts the assessment. Number 5, for the Haber process, don't just state the conditions, explain why each condition is chosen. The MARC scheme rewards explanation, not just recall. 450 degrees Celsius is used because it is a compromise between rate and yield, earns more marks than just 450 degrees Celsius. Number 6, thermosetting polymers have crosslinks. Thermosoftening polymers do not. If you mix these up, you'll get the properties completely backwards. Remember, thermosetting equals set in shape permanently like concrete. Thermosoftening equals can be softened repeatedly. Okay, quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, pause, then give the answer. No peeking at your notes. 1, what 3 stages are used to make potable water? Pause for a moment. Sedimentation, filtration, sterilization. 2, name 1 advantage of phytomining over traditional smelting. Pause. It can use low-grade ores, or it has lower energy requirements, or it can decontaminate polluted land. 3, what 2 things must be present for iron to rust? Pause. Oxygen and water, both required. 4, what is the temperature used in the Haber process and why is it a compromise? Pause. 450 degrees Celsius. It balances a fast enough rate with an acceptable yield. 5, what is the difference between a thermosoftening and a thermosetting polymer? Pause. Thermosoftening can be remolded on heating because it has weak intermolecular forces. Thermosetting cannot because it has crosslinks between chains. Brilliant work getting through this episode. Let me leave you with the 5 golden points to take away. 1, potable water is safe to drink, not pure. Stages, sedimentation, filtration, sterilization, remember SFS. 2, phytomining uses plants, bioleaching uses bacteria. Both work on low-grade ores. Both are slow. 3, LCAs cover 4 stages, extraction, manufacturing, use, disposal, and involves subjective value judgments. 4, iron rusts in the presence of both oxygen and water. Prevent it with coatings or sacrificial protection. 5, Haber process, iron catalyst, 450 degrees Celsius, 150 to 200 atmospheres. The temperature is a compromise between rate and yield. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark you earn is a mark you've worked for. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.